Yes, so Acts chapter 8, last Sabbath, we covered chapter 8, verses 8 to 25. So we will continue with verse 25 today. So verse 25 says, "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Eternal, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans." Again, that's Peter and John. They were sent when they learned of the work that the Spirit was doing through Philip to bring many to faith. They came to lay hands on them. And we saw that the reason that was necessary was because although Philip had the authority, was full of the Spirit, did miracles, demons came out of people on account of the Spirit working with them, he himself was not authorized by Elohim to provide the Holy Spirit. He was not an instrument of Elohim to transfer the Holy Spirit to the people. But he was permitted to baptize, to do the water baptism. But if you noticed, again, that they were baptized in the name of the anointed Savior, as verse 12 tells us, but they did not receive the Holy Spirit. Yes, so they sent Peter, verse 14 said, and they sent Peter and John that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So that means, again, it's very important for us to understand this, because this is not what's taught in many groups. And I've never heard any group get this right yet. I'm not saying there aren't that do, but it's important that we get this right. Just getting baptized in the water, even if you repent, doesn't automatically mean you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. It's in the Master's time. He knows when we're ready to be given the Spirit. Some people are given the Spirit before they are baptized, like we saw with Cornelius. Elohim did that so that Peter could have full confidence to baptize Cornelius and all the people that were with them. Because as soon as they heard the word, as the record in Acts shows us, it shows us as soon as Peter had finished, the Spirit came upon them and they started to what? Prophesy, every one of them in there. Then Peter, seeing this, requested that they should be baptized in the water. But in this case, these people were baptized in the water in the name of the sovereign Savior by Philip, but they did not receive the Holy Spirit. In this case, they were ready, but Philip was not the one. We've seen things like this before. We see things like David. It came into his heart to create a temple for Elohim. But Elohim said, no, not you, David. Your son Solomon, I'll permit to do this. Right? So here, Philip was not did not have this authority, but the apostles John and Peter were sent to do this. So please think about your own situation and make sure that, and I tell people, pray for the Holy Spirit, because he says, you shall call and you have to ask for the Holy Spirit. You have to ask yourself, when you were baptized, did you really ask for the Holy Spirit? Did that come into your heart at all? Did you understand that when you were being baptized, if you are baptized, did you understand that you had to repent of all sins? All sins meaning your disposition. In other words, because there are some things that might be sin you didn't know about, but was your heart determined to repent of all sin? In other words, because that's what Elohim is looking at. What's the disposition of our hearts? Okay, so those things must be in place for us to at least be a candidate of receiving the Holy Spirit. Am I saying you should be rebaptized in water? No. Let's say for whatever reason you feel somehow you didn't receive the Holy Spirit, you just need to ask at this point. Elohim has many ways of doing things. If you had already gotten baptized in the water, and you were serious about what you were doing, even though you may or may not have fully understood, you can make sure you get the Spirit by praying for the Spirit. You will know when you get the Spirit, because he will bear witness in your life. Things that you couldn't overcome, you will find that you will overcome them. That's one of the key things. He says, I will cause you to walk in my law. When it says cause, it's by covenant. The Spirit does not barge in and force himself into our lives and say, I'm going to force you to do this. This is where people err. He does not take away our free will. No, we still have our free will, because we have to choose to have that done for us. But we have to understand what is being done as recorded for us clearly in the prophets, especially in the book of Ezekiel. So I will give you my spirit and cause you to walk in my laws and my commandments to do them. I will cause you. It's very clear. People debate over this, but it's nothing to really debate over. There are many references that shows that, but it's a covenant. It's by covenant. So you have to agree first. Just as, again, we saw when the children of Israel came out, Moses came down, brought the word of the Eternal to them before they even received the commandments. He said, and they said to them, whatever the Eternal says, we will do. And Moses went back up and returned their response to the Eternal. Of course, the Eternal already knew what they said, but without going to that's what happened. He went back and told them. So it's by agreement that we're asking Elohim to give us his spirit, to come and dwell in us. He's not taking our will away, but he himself will never come in a person who's not ready. That's what we saw here again with Simon. As verse 13 says, Simon himself, this is Simon Magnus, Simon the magician, Simon himself in verse 13 believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondering. So so this tells us some time, a few days at least, elapsed before Peter and John came to do the baptism. And all that time before Peter and John came, no one had the Holy Spirit. Certainly, Simon the magician did not have the Holy Spirit. He was baptized, but he did not have the Holy Spirit. But when Peter and James came, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Notice they prayed, they asked on their behalf. They did not just stretch out their hands. They prayed first that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 15. For 16 says, as he was not yet fallen on them. They were only baptized in the name, in the authority of the sovereign Yeshua. There are some people saying, you got to be baptized in this name, or you got to be baptized in this name. And this is showing you, no, that's not how it worked. Doesn't matter if you baptize in the name of the sovereign Yeshua, whatever word you may use. If you don't have that authority, it's not going to work. It has to be given to you to do. So verse 17, and they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Who is the they? Everybody, almost everybody, I'm not going to say, but definitely not Simon the magician. Because verse 18 said, when Simon saw that through laying on the hands of the apostles, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole thing because we went through it. We know Simon was excluded from that. So I need to move on. I could get distracted with the teaching, but it's such an important thing that we understand that. It's important for us to call upon the name of the Eternal. That's why it says, whoever calls upon the name of the Eternal shall be saved. Just going into the water and being baptized and not calling, not praying to him for that salvation, it doesn't work. So it's very important. Let's make our election sure. It's very easy. It's not hard. Because you know why? Because Elohim is very merciful and kind. All you need to do is go on your knees or stand, whatever way you could pray best with all your heart and all your soul, and say, dear Father, please give me the Holy Spirit. He may give it to you instantly, but he'll give it to you in time. But have that faith, and then you will see wonders in your life. Let's continue. Something else I wanted to, I think that I didn't say about this last time. If it comes to me, I will share it. It just elapsed from my mind as I was thinking about it. But let's continue. So from verse 25, we say, so they, that is Peter and John, they went and they preached the gospel wherever they went throughout Samaria and Jerusalem. And then they returned. They returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. That's what they did there. So it shows you another thing. They were in Jerusalem and they really did not do that. But after that experience of seeing what's going on with the Gentiles, after that experience, when the apostles which were Jews heard that Samaria had received the word, they sent Peter and John. So Samaria, so they returned to Jerusalem and preached themselves there. Okay? But prior to that experience, they didn't do it. That's interesting. They could have. And that's how we learn. You see, Elohim teaches us things by experience, by the reality of the life. I didn't say by the reality of acts of perverted people, but by the realities of life, the life that's not touched by man, the things that are controlled by him that no one can control. We need to pay close attention in life for these events when things happen that are not happening by human effort because somebody thought of it. It's important because often these things are by Elohim and we could do well to participate in what he does. The other thing that did come to mind was that if you notice, it says, verse 14, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, when the apostles, there were 12 of them, right? One, Judas Iscariot, was replaced. So it says, they sent unto them Peter and John. There's no one in charge, is what I'm saying. Peter and John. But they, the rest of the apostles, sent Peter and John. In these so-called religious circles, those who quote-unquote are in charge will send others. They, you know, they're in charge, so they'll sit back and send others. But that's not how it is. They are all one. The apostles were one. They did not consider themselves greater than the other. And that's exactly what Messiah told them. You're all brethren. You're not greater than the other. Let the one who is greater serve. Okay? So these are some things we could pay attention to when we're part of a group or look out for these signs. How is the group organized? Is there someone that feel that they're in charge? You know, that somehow they're of a higher level than others. The apostles did not think that way at all. It's so important that we understand that. So they sent, the rest of the apostles sent Peter and John. And later on, we'll see where they make decisions together. It's not a matter of Peter's in charge, James, nor anybody's in charge. Because they only Messiah is in charge. And that's how the congregation must be. Any congregation that has a human being in charge is not the congregation of Elohim. I do not hesitate to say, I'll say this over and over and over. Any congregation that has a person that puts him or herself in charge of the congregation, that is not a congregation of Elohim. Because the elders, the bishops, really never considered themselves as being in charge. They considered themselves as being servants of the congregation. That's why they were called ministers. A minister is someone who serves. All right, so let's continue with verse 26. So verse 26 says, and the angel of the Eternal spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. So this is Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And the angel of the Eternal said unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. Verse, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, for to serve. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah Philip said unto him, understandest thou, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was, quote, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb, dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Verse 33, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Right? So he's reading, I believe, here in Isaiah 53. But let's continue. Verse 7 and 8. Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8 is this ref area that he's, is this text that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. So verse 34 says, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray you, I ask you, I beg you, of whom speaks the prophet this? Of himself or some other? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him the Savior, Yeshua. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Pay close attention to this. These are baptism qualifiers. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Yeshua Messiah is the Son of Elohim," is the Ben Elohim. Verse 38. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the spirit of the sovereign caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Amen. Let's go back to 26. A lot of wonderful things here that could teach us so we could make our election sure. So after all of this, you know, the disciples, the two apostles, Peter and John, returned to Jerusalem where they were commanded to stay. And we saw the angel speaking to Philip. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Has this changed? What Elohim did for Philip here, having an angel speak to Philip, still happens, brethren. Everything will happen according to our faith. If we don't believe, we won't have it. If we believe, we will have it. New covenant keys. Simple as that. If you believe, you will experience it. If you don't believe, you will not be honored. We will not be honest. We have to learn to develop that type of faith. These are not things that happened because the new covenant is already here. And it's the same new covenant until Messiah returns. So whatever is going on here you see happening in the scriptures can still happen today. Those who say that it doesn't happen is because they don't have faith. A lot of false ministers have gone out and destroyed the faith of many, saying, oh, miracles don't happen again. I almost believe that until miracles happen to me. You know, that's what changed my mind. That's what makes me believe. The miracles, the things that Elohim has done in my life. So they still happen to today. And that's why I don't hesitate to say, yes, an angel will speak to you if you believe and you need that and you pray for that type of fellowship with Elohim, he will do it for you. But it has to be with all your heart. So the angels give Philip instructions to go to a certain place, and he goes unto Gaza and meets the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian he's a great person himself. He's the personal attendant to Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. So he came to worship in Jerusalem. And we know the work of Solomon when the Queen of Sheba traveled many, many miles to hear Solomon teach. And she spent a lot of time there, and she learned a lot from Solomon. And she went back with all that knowledge. And so there were many believers on account of that lady. And I'm sure there were other reasons why Ethiopia had received the word of Elohim, but certainly the queen from Sheba, who traveled so many miles to go to hear Solomon, had a role in this. And of course, Messiah made reference to her too. He said, the queen of Sheba traveled many miles to hear Solomon, but a greater than Solomon is here, right? Speaking of himself. But let's go back to here. So Ethiopia had the knowledge of Elohim, and they had servants who would come and worship in Jerusalem. And that's what he was doing. But listen, so we saw in verse 26 how an angel guided Philip. That's one. But here we see the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this church. You see the instruction from heaven? It's so important. There's a portion in the scriptures that it's translated as Christian. They were called Christians. And some people think that's a bad thing. But when you look at that word, it means the guided ones. I'll find it for you when I can and share that with you. So that's an example of being guided. He's not making his own mind up here. It is the Spirit that said unto, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Those are the type of things we need to pray for more and more. We need to believe the new covenant. We need to believe. The Israel did not believe. And throughout the, especially throughout the 40 years in the desert, none of those who complained and did not believe entered, but those who believe entered. That first covenant, the first covenant promises. So if we want to experience this, we have to believe it. Anything you've learned that says these things don't happen to you is a pit, is a lie from hell, is a lie from the adversary, a lie to weaken you, a lie to decrease the effect of the faith of Messiah in this world. The faith of Messiah in this world was really great, especially early on. You could read the records of the ancient fathers and how they discourse with unbelievers and the plain statements they make about the regularity of miracles in their day. When they use that as proof, when they're speaking, like they'll say, look around you. Don't you see that those who call, those who cast out and heal in the name of Yeshua can heal everybody, which none of your people can do. So they use that as evidence of the truth. So it's not about just teaching. There has to be evidence of the truth, of evidence of that power. And we could have that power by believing in faith and asking. So Philip ran there and he asked, do you understand what you are reading? And of course, the wise eunuch said, how can I understand unless somebody teaches me? So Philip initiates the work. We need to initiate the work. We need to be servants. We need to look for opportunity to serve, brethren. It's not enough to come on the Sabbaths and holy days. The Sabbaths and holy days are the times that we come to fellowship and encourage each other to praise Elohim and to give an account of ourselves, to give an account of our work. That's why we have testimony time. We don't do it just in vain. The testimonies are time that we encourage each other. Or if we need encouragement, we ask for prayer. The Sabbaths, the appointed times are very important, brethren. They're not just something we come in and we sit on our hands and we're passive. We're all to be actively engaged in all the appointed times when they come. They're, again, to fellowship, to solidify and to cause that bond to increase in love and peace. They're there to give thanks and praise to Elohim. They're there to give an account of our ministry to each other. So we need to look for opportunities. So let's move on. So how can I know unless somebody guide me? And then we're told he was reading in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. The eunuch is also, because he's seeking to be saved, he's serious, he's active about his salvation too. He was active in searching the scriptures. We have to make all the efforts we can. And when he could not understand, didn't Elohim look after the eunuch? Let's not forget that. Who told Philip to go where he went? It is the angel who told Philip. Was the angel looking after Philip or after the Ethiopian? He had the Ethiopian's interest in mind. Of course, Philip is already in the covenant, but here he's taking care of the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian was reading something and confess he could not understand. He did not do as many do and make up an answer, or look to flesh for the answer, or look for human records for the answer. No, he was trying to understand. He couldn't. And Elohim saw that, told Philip, look at the line. Elohim sends his angel and the angel tells Philip and Philip goes. The flow of the kingdom communication, the flow of the kingdom communication from Elohim through Messiah to the angel, to the elder, to the one to be saved. In this case, the eunuch. So he said, being active in his salvation, who is the prophet speaking about? And of course, Philip reads it with him from that scripture, explains the truth and tells them, preach Yeshua to him. And of course, the answer, no, this is speaking about Yeshua. And he gives them so much, all he needs to know, really nothing more and nothing less. It's contextual. Preaching the gospel is contextual. That was his question. That's what this eunuch wanted to know. And so Philip did not go about preaching about creation and, oh, do you know there's an Elohim? That would be a waste of the Ethiopian's time. The Ethiopian already knows all of these things. The Ethiopian needed to know this bit of information. And when he knew it, Philip told him everything else he needed to know about Messiah. Next is, and as they went, they came to a certain, and the eunuch, see, the eunuch is active. He said, see, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? You see how we need to be active? We cannot sit on our hands. Not in our salvation, not in serving Elohim. We have to be active. He asked the question, look, there's water. Some people would like, I heard this message, but I really don't, I'm not ready yet. But that's not the case here. He wants to be baptized. He initiates it. What hinders me? And Philip says, because Philip doesn't know the heart, only Elohim knows that. But Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, because Philip doesn't know, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. It's not baptize anybody who comes. It's not, I'm going to baptize you because you're my son, you're my daughter. No. Or because you're paying you're giving the most tithes and offerings, which is shameful, what goes on today. It's believe with all your heart. It's always that case. If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And the Ethiopian says, I believe that Yeshua, Messiah, the anointed Savior, is the Son of Elohim. And so he commanded the chariot to be still and went down, both of them, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they went, what happened? The Spirit took Philip away all the way to Azotus. He was found there, similar to what happened to Elijah many times when they were trying to attack him. And the Spirit would take him away, as the enemy said. That's what happened here. The Spirit caught Philip. And he was, if I remember, this is some many, many, I think it's probably some miles away he was taken. And so he returned. And what did he do? Oh, I did my job. I baptized. No, he kept preaching in all cities till he came to Caesarea. That's the importance of the gospel. That's emphasizing the importance of the gospel. If we're talking about any other thing in this world, oh, we're trying to, let's build hospitals. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. Let's find, nope, that's not going to change society. Those things are good, but they all just like fix the symptoms. To fix the problem, it's the gospel. It's the converted heart. That's what's going to fix the problem. Okay, so let me stop here and let me just summarize. So what we saw here, we saw the from verse 25, the incredible relationship that Philip had, the fellowship of the Spirit, the fellowship with the host, the love that Elohim had for Philip, the trust that Elohim had in Philip to commit to him. Such wonderful experiences that an angel guides him. To whom to serve. He served the Ethiopian. We saw that the Ethiopian himself was a great man. It's a point man. And he's on his way back to Ethiopia. And the Spirit, through Philip, tells Philip what to say to him. And the Ethiopian, being fervent, said yes, and he was baptized. And is there anything different here? Will this Ethiopian need to receive the Spirit? Most likely, yes. Most likely, yes, because Philip doesn't have that authority. Unless the apostles, when they came, we don't have this record here. Unless the apostles, when they came and they could have given this authority to Philip, possibly, but the scriptures doesn't say that, so I can't say. So as far as I know, this Ethiopian was just baptized by the water, which is a legitimate baptism. But if he hasn't yet received the Spirit, he has to receive the Spirit. This also show you something, that we can be believers and not yet have the Spirit. We've got to be very careful about that. Now we don't have that seal, because the seal of Elohim is just that, a seal. The Spirit can come and be with somebody, visit, even be in somebody. That doesn't mean the person is sealed. The seal is a new covenant promise. It's not what was going on in the Old Testament. Only very few had the Spirit with them. People like that was in them, like from the Old Covenant, Moses and the prophets. Most others did not have the Spirit sealed in them. The Spirit could have helped them, like you see when the Spirit is helping them, guiding, enabling them to build the tabernacle, the Mishkan at the time of Moses during their journeys in the desert. The Spirit came to certain people to give them the skills. It's not a spirit necessarily of all wisdom of salvation. The Spirit enabled them to do what they needed to do. Some people think when, oh, the Spirit came, it means the Spirit seals. No, the Spirit is not some sort of unthinking power. No, the Spirit is thinking. The Spirit is of Elohim. So the Spirit can come on someone to do anything. The Spirit came upon, I believe it was Caiaphas, and caused him to say, don't you know that one person must die for all? That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit dwelt in him. Definitely not. So let's not get confused by how the Spirit works. But when the Spirit comes and seals an individual, that's it, your seal. Just like David was sealed by the covenant of salt that he made with him. And that's why when David sinned, no matter what sin he committed, he was chastised, but he was not rejected by Elohim. This is the promise of the new covenant. That if once we're sealed, once we're his, if we sin going forward, we'll be chastised. Our past sins are forgiven us. But once we sin going forward, he will punish us to correct us. But those who are sealed will never sin against the Holy Spirit. That's why he seals them, because he knows that. Amen. I stop here. Thank you, brethren. We'll take a minute break thing, and then we'll come back to Revelations. Thank you.